Blog Talk Radio.
They forget to bring me water. They forget that I'm here. They don't know how smart.
Everyone, and good evening, and welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals, number 220 and counting. Tonight, this is great. Keep speaking up and standing up for the animals and trying to do everything that we can to get them changes made, the positive changes. My name is Debbie Dahmer. I am the host and producer Four Voices Carry for Animals, and I want to welcome everyone aboard this evening. All you returning listeners, can't thank you enough for all your support. And all you new listeners, I hope you enjoy the show and keep spreading the word, keep coming back, because these shows do stand up for all the animals in need. So we do change from week to week, and sometimes we run, you know, the same for weeks upon. So anyway, I want to go over a couple few things before we do get this show started. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette online, and that's www.ppjg.me. Press listen live here, and on the right side of the column, there is a follow or subscribe link. You can it will notify you in your primary email when a new podcast is coming up or a new article. And also you can follow on Blog Talk Radio, and I'll give you that link, www.blogtalkradio.com/voicescarryforanimals. And under the logo, press the follow, and every time there is a new Voices Care for Animals podcast, it will notify you in your primary email. If there's any questions, just PM me on Facebook, and just or you know, just let me know what the question is. Or if you want to become a guest on my show, send me any small bio of yourself, any your Facebook groups, pages, websites, videos. And you're more than welcome to come on board. And we're booked up to almost September, so you just probably try to be patient, because there's a lot of guests coming in, and that's a huge plus for the animals, giving them a standing ovation, because we're standing up for the animals all in need, and that's what our goal is. The, you know, teamwork is the key for all of us to come together as one and get those changes made. Contact your state legislators. You know, here's the phone number, area code 202-224-3121. And they're going to ask for your zip code, and then ask to speak to your representative or senator. And after hours, you can leave a voicemail on weekends. You can also contact them, do a search for your, find your state representatives, put your zip code on the internet, and it will lead you to them that way. You can call them, you can fax them, you can email them, you can make an appointment with them. Every effort counts out there, everyone, because if we don't stand up for the animals, who will? And we have to do this because there's animals out there in need from every angle. There's a lot of suffering going on and neglect and abuse. And this is totally uncalled for. It's senseless. It's, you know, it shouldn't be happening. Animals, you know, feel pain just like we do. So, you know, put yourself in their paws or their shoes and please do something, because the longer we wait for these changes, the more that they suffer. Our voices are the animals' voices in need. So we must speak out. And I want to go ahead and introduce my guest tonight. He's coming back. All right, Jeff. He was on Marty Oakley, TS Radio Network, Voices Carry for number 13, right there from the beginning. And also Animal Advocates Radio 183. A big shout out to Marty Oakley, because she's the one that got me started after two shows. It was only supposed to be two shows, and then we was going to let it go, but it exploded. So, and that was a plus for the animals. So, Marty Oakley, thank you for all you've done for me and getting me started on this and teaching me and going my own on the radio. We're still great team players and great friends. So I want to go ahead and I'm going to bring Jeff on. I want to welcome you, Jeff, back to Voices Carry for Animals. How are you this evening? Welcome back.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, anytime. And looking forward to having you come back again and again, you know, because you're a great speaker out there, a leader, you know, you out there caring for the animals, stepping up to the plate. But you want to go ahead and tell the audience, just refresh their memory, basic information, how you got started and what you're, you know, doing now. Go right ahead. You're live and on the air.
Sure. Yeah, I was thinking about this, and, you know, I think this is my fourth time on, a couple of times back in the day, one not so long ago, and this one. So I was thinking, maybe we just record my bio, and then we can just play it. I hate talking about myself. I can talk about any topic in the world, but when I have to talk about myself, it's still... And I don't even know how many thousands of times I've done public speaking, but when it comes to talking about myself, I'm always so uncomfortable. At any rate, pre-recorded, you know, so whatever. The short version is, my brother rescued a white pit bull back in 1991. Or 1990, 1991. I'm getting older now, so the exact times, you know, they elude my memory sometimes. But there was a guy outside of a bar that was dumping his 6-month-old pit bull puppy, and my brother just happened to be there, and he took this dog home, and he renamed him Odin, and Odin was the first pit bull in our family, and obviously my brother, you know, did all the training and whatnot, and I was kind of second in command. You know, I would help him take care of Odin. And what my brother started doing some professional training with him, and I kind of got involved in that as well, and that's kind of what got my bug for becoming a dog trainer. So Odin is the reason why I fell in love with pit bulls. He's also the reason, why I got involved and why I developed an interest in dog training. And so that's how the dog training and the love of pit bulls started. And I guess, around 2002, my wife and I, we started volunteering for the shelter and doing some rescue at home, kind of on our own, fostering, even sometimes just bringing in dogs and trying to rehome them and whatnot. And so we kind of did rescue in that capacity. As a foster home and, you know, doing it on our own for a number of years. And then in 2010, and all the while, obviously, I was dog training as well. But in 2010, we founded Pity Rescue. And, you know, even though we were involved in rescue for, you know, 8 years or so, we felt it was time to start our own rescue. So we did. And ironically, after, you know, 8 years or so doing pit bull rescue and being involved with shelters and stuff, we founded Pity Rescue. And the very first animal that we actually took in, like the first owner surrender to Pity Rescue, was a guinea pig. And I always forget to tell that story because it's friggin' hysterical. You know, because, you know, by this time, you know, I mean, especially up in North Jersey, most people knew of me and my wife by then, and, you know, we're huge pit bull lovers and advocates, and, you know, and I was training them and whatnot, and here we go, our first official animal taken into our 501c3 was a guinea pig. We founded it as an all species rescue, so obviously we had to live up to that.
That's right.
You know, but yeah, I mean, over the years we were involved in, you know, some anti BSL efforts up in New Jersey, opposing breed specific legislation, obviously pit bull advocacy, and you know about my old pit bull Amber. You know, she was a pit bull, and she was a therapy dog for almost 11 years, probably 10 and a half years of her 12 and a half year life. Actually 11 years of her 12 and a half year old life. And one of my books I wrote about Amber, it's called Daddy's Little Girl. So, you know, having Amber doing therapy work and doing a lot of public appearances, and my other pit bull Jake as well. You know, we did a lot of things as far as like teaching kids how to properly interact with dogs. You know, we did Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Cub Scouts. We did some community summer programs over the years. And, you know, obviously Jake and Amber passed away. And now, since we're down in North Carolina 4 years now, my other pit bull, Deuce, we actually did a couple of county fairs with him. And during those things, we did more of the same. I would bring my pit bull and I would show the kindergarten kids how to properly interact with a strange dog. And, you know, so, it was, you know, just a lot of positive pit bull stuff. And, you know, it's, you know, 2019, I'm not old, but I'm getting older, so I can't do as much as I was able to do 10 years ago physically, but fortunately for social media, and, you know, I still work with about 25 rescues all along the East Coast as far as, you know, helping them with their dogs in a training capacity. You know, we still have Pity Rescue. We still have a few dogs up for adoption, so, you know, I'm still quite busy, and, you know, but, you know, anytime Debbie calls to ask if I can come on a show, I say yes. So
that's awesome. You know that, Jeff, I can't thank you enough because I appreciate that. You speak well for all the animals out there, the pit bulls, because they always get the bad rap, and it's not fair. You know, they judge them. You know, you can't judge a breed or a dog by its breed. You know, you have to. Like with one bites, we hate to hear all them horrific stories, and, you know, but you can't, they can't be, all pit bulls can't be accountable for every dog that bites out there, because they're all individual, you know, they're nothing like that, because all the pit bulls I've known have been so friendly and lovable, you know, throughout the family and friends and neighbors and ex-co-workers and you know, they're friendly. I mean, they have to blame the deed, not the breed, because they
the problem with that is that it's not, they're not even blaming a breed. We can't even say it's a breed thing anymore, because it's a look, it's a physical look and a perception of people of what a quote unquote pit bull is. I mean, if it's a muscular, strong dog with you know, any kind of definition to his head, and, you know, jaws that, you know, appear to be wide, they're going to call it a pit bull. I mean, it's just, you know, and we've talked about it on past shows. It's just, it's ridiculous that they even, that it's even a thing. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, we refer to it as doggy racism. I mean, you know,
yes.
if if someone has a certain color of skin, that doesn't make them part of any specific demographic. I mean, you know, it's you know, there's light-skinned black people, there's dark-skinned Latin people. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous what they do with dogs. They just look at a physical description and they call it a pit bull. And what it does, a couple of things. It you know, first and foremost, it highly skews any kind of bite statistics, because the bite statistics associated with pit bull comprises so many different breeds of dog that you can't even compare it to the other categories of dogs that are listed in bite statistics. You know, most dog breeds are, you know, most bite statistics are listed by breed. And then you get the pit bull, and it could be a pit bull mixed with any of 230 some odd breeds, and it's a pit bull. You know, it's unfair. It's inaccurate statistical reporting, and and I'm not ignorant. I say this all the time. I realize that large, powerful dogs can cause harm to people. I understand that. But first and foremost, dog bite fatalities, regardless of breed, and I'm not being cold and callous here, because it's heartbreaking, and I can't imagine what families have to go through to lose loved ones over losing someone from a dog attack. That being said, it's hardly an epidemic. Okay, I mean, and again, I hate to minimize it, but all these anti-pit bull people, they throw statistics out at us. So, you know, I guess sometimes you got to kind of reciprocate and throw them back. I mean, what are there, 20-something dog fatalities every year? Right?
Right.
And again, it's horrible. It's terrible. And I hope anyone listening doesn't think I'm being callous, right? But, I mean, 2,000 people die every year from mosquitoes. So,
right.
I mean, you know, it's terrible. I mean, there's 1.5 million pit bulls are killed every year. 1 million and a half pit bulls
at least.
That's a low estimate, right? So 1.5 million, and these aren't 1.5 million pit bulls that did something wrong. For all intents and purposes, the majority of these pit bulls were just dogs, like sweet, loving dogs that just got sucked into, you know, shelter life, or, you know, becoming homeless and being euthanized. And, you know, again, not to minimize human loss, and it's sad that 20-some-odd people die every year from dog bites, not necessarily pit bull bites, pit bull attacks, but dog attacks. You know, I guess it stinks that people create an epidemic about something that is not an epidemic. It's something that obviously we need to continue to educate dog owners, so dog owners become more responsible and they don't allow their dogs opportunities to harm people, obviously, but to go after certain looking dogs, I can't even say breed, because they're not even going after a breed. They're going after certain looking dogs to try and banish them from the earth. And it's just ridiculous.
Yes, it is. Because, like you said, it's not fair. It's discrimination, racism, you know, injustice. And it's not unbelievable. That's what I can't believe this is allowed to happen. You know, that's just like if humans, you know, let's say if one commits murder, okay, and then they don't go after the whole family of the you know, or brothers or sisters, aunts or uncles, you know, say, oh, you're just like him, you know, and we're going to put you in prison the rest of your life. And that's stereotype. And if they did that, you know, I mean, look, Jeff, at my last name, Dahmer. You know, I get, you know, people will always tease me or this and that. You related to Jeffrey and this. I said, no, you know, because there's no relationship here. He's in a better place because he doesn't deserve to be on earth. You know, he's sickening, and he's, you know, what he did to all those murders back in the 90s. But they didn't come and say, okay, all you Dahmers, come on, let's go to prison. You know, they didn't do that.
Yeah.
They
right.
shouldn't do that. And when they do this to the pit bull, or, you know, just by looking at, okay, you have a big head, muscular, this and that, and discrimination's coming about because we're saying, okay, whether it's homeowner's insurance or rental's insurance or whatever different rules and regulations, they're saying that whole one dog bites, they're saying they're all like that dog that just bit that man or woman or kid. You know, and it's sad when it happens, but, you know, accidents do happen. They have to go to the roots of the problem. What happened? Why did this dog attack? You know, does he have a bad history? You know, a life before this? Was he involved in dog fighting? You know, anything could come about. And to look at these dogs and say, okay, well, just like Miami. Look, they're banned since, what was it, 1989? I believe it is. And I've had Dyla on the show several times. She's coming back next month. But it's terrible what's going on. You know, these dogs deserve a chance. BSL needs to end, stop, and give these innocent dogs a chance to live and breathe and not to discriminate against them. You know, because they, and the owners too, bad owners make bad dogs. So, just like bad parents make bad kids. I mean, it just all comes together. And it's so sad to hear, you know, what these dogs are going through. I know when you was, I was a big Patrick the Miracle Dog supporter back years ago. And you did a book on him, Jeff. That's awesome. And a video. And I mean, he got worldwide attention. And look at him. He's a lot. I mean, today he looks real healthy and happy, and that's the way they all should look, you know, not discriminate against, because they can be lovable dogs once you own them and bring them in your home and treat them with dignity and respect, you know. So, but thank you for helping Patrick the Miracle Dog. All that was awesome too.
I didn't help Patrick. I was just a very small piece of that story. I just evaluated him. You know, there were so many people that. Nah, I was just a tiny piece of his story. You know,
yeah,
the,
but you,
the
what
people
you
who
did
saved,
was
the people,
highly appreciated.
The people who saved his life and the people
yes.
who adopted him, they're the heroes, for sure.
And it's amazing how he survived, you know. And when you evaluated, you had to give a report. You had to help him out, you know, somewhat. And you brought your attention because you've done everything, Jeff. Dog trainer, author, instructor. You've been on TV, founder and director at Pity Rescue. I mean, look at this list of everything you've done. And you're not even done yet with anything. You know, you want to look forward and make a better future in life for these pit bulls. And that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stand
I'm actually one of my, one of my next books is, it's kind of like a pit bull memoir. And, it'll probably be a series, but I'm just working on the first edition. It's just a series of short stories of some of the pit bulls that impacted my life. So it's, it's just another way to get stories out of, you know, positive pit bull stories, because, you know, pit bulls are like, you know, they're like plane crashes. You don't hear about the tens of thousands that take off successfully. You hear about the
right.
one that hit somebody.
Yes.
You know, so.
Agreed.
So that's the good thing about social media, too. As crazy and as insane as social media users are, you know, if people really want to look for some positive stuff, it doesn't take that much effort. It takes the same amount of effort to look for positive things as it does for negative things. And, you know, there are so many positive, you know, pit bull stories out there, you know, so you know, all of us. I mean, and that's the one thing is, you know, what I try to tell people who own pit bulls or pit bull type dogs or pit bull mixes is that as unfair as it is, when you own a pit bull or anything that looks like a pit bull, we are held to a higher standard. You know, we have a higher level of responsibility than other dog owners. You know, I mean, if a little French bulldog is barking and growling at the end of his leash, you know, most people will laugh. If a pit bull or a Rottweiler or a German Shepherd does that, everybody calls it a menace to society, right? So we can't allow our dogs to behave like that. We have to train our dogs. We have to socialize them. And, you know, and being in rescue, the fact of the matter is sometimes we get dogs that I don't want to say they're beyond rehabilitation, but they require special placement. And when you place a dog that requires special placement, you have to make sure that, you know, people understand the responsibility behind it, and they can never put their dog in a position to fail. We always have to put our dogs in a position to succeed.
Oh, yeah. And we can't give up. That's the thing, Jeff. We cannot give up, because then we automatically lose the battle. And it's not an easy battle out there. You know, we're trying to bring the negative into the positive. And it can be done if there's enough of us. You know, if there's only a handful of us, we're spinning our wheels. But if there's thousands of us, we are now getting somewhere. You know, whatever it takes. I heard petitions work. You know, I've been involved with petitions and seen them work. And then I've seen them not work because the petition holder keeps them on and keeps floating around through social media and does not get anywhere. You know, so our voices do matter. And our voices for the pit bulls. Yes, definitely.
And they do. And, for you know, if there's anyone listening, because I know there's been times in my journey, and not just with pit bulls, but in other areas, you know, animal rescue, where sometimes you just feel like holy crap, this mountain is just too high to climb. It's like every time, it seems like every time I make progress, the horizon exposes more mountain to climb. And as overwhelming as that could be at times, and sometimes you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, if there are any pit bull advocates that really are feeling that, you know, that almost despair, like we're not making any progress, we are. You know, more and more insurance companies are insuring homeowners that have the bad breeds, quote-unquote bad breeds. More and more insurance companies, they're insuring people who own Rottweilers and Dobermans and Pit Bulls and German Shepherds and Huskies. Now, granted, there are still companies that won't, right? And that's okay. They don't get our business. Too friggin' bad. I don't care, right? But you're seeing some progress in the insurance industry, because they realize, first and foremost, when they were banning these quote-unquote bad breeds, their bite statistics and their insurance payouts did not change. They were still paying out the same amount of money. So taking these dogs away from being insurable had no impact on their bottom line. They were still dishing out the same amount of money annually for dog bites, right? And mm-hmm. that's you know, that's statistical, tangible proof that it doesn't matter. You could eliminate pit bulls from the equation. It doesn't change anything, right? And then look across the country. What was it? Somewhere in Ohio, they were the most recent to repeal their pit bull ban, because pit bull bans don't work. They don't impact bite statistics. They don't impact fatalities. It's just another irresponsible owner who didn't train their dog properly, didn't socialize their dog properly, and allowed their dog to kill or maim someone. You know, so as overwhelming as it can be at times, everybody needs to just, you know, just hang in there. And you know, you don't have to do a whole lot, right? I mean, if all you are is a pit bull owner, you just need to change one person's mind at a time. It's all you need to do. And how you do that is show them how sweet your dogs are. And on the flip side of it, because I'm not ignorant, I realize some dogs have behavioral problems. If you have a dog, and it's not just pit bulls, but all my Doberman and Rottweiler and German Shepherd friends, if you have dogs that aren't particularly fond of strangers, don't put them in a position to interact with a stranger. Right? Don't do that to your dog. Don't do that to your breed. It's irresponsible, right? If you have an edgy dog, I mean, you know, just use common sense, you know?
And that's all it takes, too. You know, with a stranger, or leave them with, you know, any dog around children by themselves. You know, because you know, our animals, our pets, furry loved ones are our protectors. You know, we're their protectors too. So we have to look out for each other. Not only, you know, like Buddy, he's a great watchdog. You know, he knows, he senses somebody coming to the door and this and that. And then I explain to him, if it is a stranger, I say, okay, he's going to sniff you, and I give him, alert them, you know, because their natural instinct is to, you know, bark. That's how they communicate. But some people think they're going to go after you and this and that. But, you know, living around in this household, you alert them. You know, if the police come to the door, tell them, there, I have a dog, and let me secure him before I talk to you. You know, it can be for anything, you know, questions about a neighbor or just coming by and maybe there was a complaint or something, or, you know, you never know. But, you know, I've had a show on police shootings, you know, dogs, innocent dogs. And Jeff, their life is very, I mean, you look at this world we live in and everything, when they go knocking at somebody's door, you know, they don't know what's behind closed doors. They don't know how many weapons is back there. You know, so they have, you know, their life is on the line every day, every single day that they're out on duty. You know, so, or even if they're walking up to a car and there's a dog in there, you know. We have to turn around and say we have to respect and you know, treat our police officers with dignity and respect. And let them know, hey, we know it's a dangerous world out there. We can't say it isn't, you know, so we've got to protect our, you know, our dogs that's with us at the time or in our home, you know, because they don't know your dog. They don't know any of our dogs, and they don't know if they'll come out and bite them. There could be somebody in the house that has a warrant for them, and once the policeman goes after them, there's going to be chaos. The dogs start barking. If there's kids start screaming, you know, we've all seen that on the television during shows. So, you know, we got to try our best and to communicate. Communication is our best answer out there, because these dogs, it's so sad how they get the bad rap and not given a chance. And look at Lennox back in the day. They put him down. That got worldwide coverage. You know, I was another supporter of that. And that was so sad. I mean, I remember the day that they put him down. I mean, it shocked everybody. And
you mean the day they said they put him down. And we all feel he was put down long before then.
Oh, yeah. I have that feeling, too, Jeff. They were just trying to blow it off. You know, you said it right there. How long was it before they announced it, you know? And it was like they was playing. Sometimes they go on these power trips, you know, on how much power they have, or ego trips, you know, that's not needed. You know, look at go to the roots of the problem here. Lennox didn't deserve to die, you know, and there are a lot of them out there that don't either. They're just, so, you know, they're innocent. And if we don't fight for them, who's going to do it? We're their only hope. We are their only hope. And if anybody wants to call in or questions or comments for Jeff, the number is area code 310-982-4270. Press 1, and I'll let you in. Try to refrain from any noises in the background, conversations, radio, TV, and you're more than welcome to come on board. And that number is the same every week if you want to log it in somewhere. Area code 310-982-4270. Press 1 in the queue, and I'll let you in. And any comments or questions for Jeff? Because we
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Okay, Jeff, if you could call back because I had some audio problems on Blog Talk Radio, but I'm seeming to get back in right now. If you could call back, I'm going to try to get a hold of you by your phone. But I called in from another line and wait for Jeff, the guest, to call back in. But if anybody, if you have any comments or questions, just area code 310-982-4270, press 1, and I'll let you in. So, and we do have some callers, and here we go. Okay, area code 719, you're live and on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey,
hello?
Debbie, what's on?
Hey, how are you there, Ray?
Having a little technical difficulty over there.
I'm having some technical difficulties, but I know how to solve the problem. I hope I do.
I thought I'd just call in, fill the void here for a minute till he calls back in.
Yeah, because I'm trying to. I figured out, you know, you have to have you find the solutions in the problem. Well, I found the solution to end that problem. I wish a lot of them were like that easy.
I was just going to say that. I wish the problems were that easy to fix.
I know. I mean, it's something else. But when you get experience on Blog Talk Radio, you're going to have some problems sometimes with the audio, you know, so.
Oh, yeah.
Not, a, you know. Okay, let me get here. Okay, Jeff.
Hello.
We
hey
got
there.
You back on it. I was just telling Ray, she just called in. She's a former guest on the show, Community Cats United. And I told her, I said, I wish, you know, when you go out to solve problems, you know, you find the solutions. And I found that real quick because I knew what to do when I lost the audio. Because it's not the first time, you know. Once in a while,
and
I don't see that.
I was like, geez, she hung up on me, and I didn't even offend anyone yet.
I would never hang up on you.
No, I know.
Jeff, here you go.
Wait, Ray, here you go, Ray. Go ahead.
Hey, Jeff, this
Ray.
Is Ray. I can
Hi,
hear
Ray.
You on. Hello? Hello? I'm like, oh, crap, I'm going to call in quick.
That's Stingray.
Hey, we've got to keep the show going, right, no matter what.
You're awesome, too, Ray, what you do. She stands up for the cats. You know, she was a great guest, too, Jeff. On the air, Ray Bittner.
Uh-huh.
Yes, because she stands up for all them stray cats out there and everything, so
excellent.
Helping them out. Isn't that awesome? And I love to see this when, you know, you have guests or even animal rights activists and they switch over, they multitask and come help these other animals out. You know, that's awesome. That's what I do, you know, try to help any which way I can. So, but go ahead, Ray.
It's just sad that there's so many that we have to stand up for, you know, cats, the dogs, the elephants, the, you know, and all this stuff going on in Australia. And it's just, it seems like it's just never going to end, you know, and we need more people to help us fight.
That's right.
Yeah, and it's funny that, you know, I mean, ironically, humans are the cause of all these problems.
That's right.
Yep.
Who else can we blame?
You know, they blame the pit bull for all these, for everything. You know, breed-specific legislation took over in the country, and, you know, they do the same thing with the cats. The cats have killed all these endangered species off. Yeah, okay, really? What about deforestation and all these other things that are killing? You know, just every time you watch TV, there's another animal that's added to the endangered species list. And, yeah, humans are in there doing it, but we have to start taking care of all of them on different levels and, you know, destroying their habitat. And we have, you know, not just us, but everywhere in urban settings, you've got fox and coons and all these critters that are in living amongst us, and the first thing people want to do is kill them. And it just is driving me nuts, and it's every day another, you know, pit bulls have seen their fair share of everything. You know, we need more people.
We need, because there's millions out there, Ray. Millions of people out there, you know. And like I said before, there's only a handful. We're only spinning our wheels, but thousands coming in. You know, these politicians don't like public outrage or outcry or nothing. So when
we all come
together as one and say, hey, this is the way it should be, and, you know, we have to protect them. We have to watch, you know, their safety and awareness out there and their lives and the futures. We can't do nothing about the past, but we can for sure about the futures. And we need more people out there, so everyone go and, you know, tell more, because there's so many issues out there. I mean, if you look at all the animals and all the issues that's needing attention and put in the spotlight, it is outrageous. You know,
And, you know, I've learned a lot by following people like Jeff, Pitbull Debbie, you, and other pitbull advocates. Because a lot of the fighting and the legislation and things that they and you guys have done is a model for how I can help cats, how I can help change legislation and get ordinances made. And, you know, killing cats is not the way to stop overpopulation. Same with pit bulls. Killing every pit bull that you lay eyes on isn't going to stop the problem. That they're not the problem. It's the people that are the problem.
Yep.
Yeah, and you make a good point, Ray. I mean, obviously, you know, cats and pit bulls, technically you could say they're apples and oranges. But if you look at some of the challenges we face, like being a pit bull advocate, a pit bull owner, a pit bull rescuer, you know, almost all people involved with pit bulls are good people, they have good dogs, and they're responsible, but there is a small group who ruins it for the rest of us. A very, very small percentage ruins it for the rest of us because, let's face it, we live in a very negative-driven society. People are just drawn to negativity, right? And if you look at feral colonies of cats, I mean, I don't even know. I mean, I know dozens and dozens of people who manage, you know, feral cat colonies. And I also have heard of a very, very, very small few who do not manage feral colonies, and it's almost like they're hoarders with wild cats. So then what happens is people just think all feral colonies are bad, when if they're managed properly, they're not. They just become part of the ecosystem. And, you know, It stinks that, you know, such a small group of just about anyone who's involved in some capacity of animal care and advocacy, there's always that tiny segment that just ruins it for the rest of us and makes our efforts that much harder.
Absolutely. You know.
Totally agreed, Jeff. Totally agreed. Yes.
A feral colony in my yard. I moved into this house and they were everywhere. I'd never heard the word feral, never heard. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with all these cats? So I called into the shelter and they hooked me up with the TNR coordinator, and she taught me everything I needed to know, all the cats got fixed. There was 23, 19 of them were pregnant. I mean, it is horrifying how fast these cats can repopulate. And I got them all fixed, got them all their shots. They were fed. They had houses. Went around, talked to all the neighbors, told them what we were doing. Everybody was on board. People brought me food. The kids at the school sponsored them. And now it took 5 years to take. There was 7 total ferals, and the rest were semi. You know, you eventually could pet them, but those 5 were the hard ones. It took me 4.5 years to socialize them. And March last year, my colony was done. I found every one of them home, so it can be done, you know.
Yeah, and now, if you didn't step in, what would that count be up to, right? So you just described to me a properly managed colony that was no longer a nuisance to the public. They were no longer a nuisance for health or safety. And you actually, I mean, obviously some people manage colonies just to manage a colony. You went a step further and you placed them where they went, when and where they could be placed. I mean, that's just amazing.
Oh my goodness, I cried the last day when the last 2 were adopted. I was like, you know, I devoted 5 years to that group of cats every day, and every day I'd go out and I'd talk to them, and when the last one was gone, I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do now? You know, that was the end of it. Yeah, right. With Beth Frank and Community Cats, and that was it. The journey was just beginning. Now, you know, like you, I talk with Debbie and other people, and we're getting things changed. Just, you know, same with the pit bulls.
Yeah.
That's right, because, you know, it is making progress. Like you said before, Jeff, there is differences being made. You know, there's victories coming through. What we strive for, you know. That big V word, victory, and that's, you know, for the animals, better lives and futures for them, so much they deserve, because every minute of the day, you know, an animal's in suffering, humans can't, we can't deal with headaches or pain or nothing like that, and they feel pain just like we do, so they, you know, they need their rights granted, and to help them to make a better world.
The pit bulls, a lot of this BSL is being overturned. We're working really hard on Denver. They're really have their heels dug in, but, you know, you just got to stay with it. In Castle Rock, they lifted the breed-specific legislation, so you can now have a pit bull within Castle Rock here in Colorado. And, you know, there was another place that just passed one. I can't remember. I saw it on Facebook today. I can't remember. But, you know, little by little, we're chipping away at them.
That's right. And you said today on Facebook, I'll keep looking for the news feed, because then I'll blast it. Yeah.
It was. Find it. I'll send it to you.
Okay. And then I'll take
another,
it all and spread
was,
all over, you know, Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Pinterest, and because the more victories, the better.
We got to find those people that work so hard to pass it and get them hooked in with, like, you and Jeff and Debbie, and, you know, share. The more they share how they did it and what it took and all that, I think is great, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Let people know what it's all about. The more you put it out there, the more they see it, the more people that are going to get on board.
That's right. Jump on board.
People can't be swayed away from getting involved because they think it's too much work, because the fact of the matter is, you know, you don't have to affect worldwide change. You can start in your local community. I mean, just volunteering at your local shelter or local rescue, helping them, you know, walk some dogs or, you know, get some dogs socialized, every pit bull that is better trained and better socialized, people don't realize it, but that affects positive change. That simple act, even if it's just one dog. I can't tell you how many times I talk to people and, you know, they, you say pit bull and they're like, whoa, you know, and then you have to have, you know, the whole conversation. You know, I don't have to fill in the blank. You know where I'm going with this. And then you ask them, well, how many have you met? Oh, I've never met any. So how can you possibly have that opinion, right? Because you saw a news story 2 years ago? I mean, if that's the case, do you fly on a plane? Oh, you do? Oh, my God. Do you drive a car? You still drive a car even though you know tens of thousands of people are killed every year by vehicles? You know, so I think if people are overwhelmed by the possibility of getting involved, don't be. Just start small, even if you stay small. That's okay. I told Debbie, you know, I can't do what I did 10 years ago. I honestly just don't have it in me physically, but I still do what I can. And that's okay. You know, it took me a while to come to that realization, but I'm still affecting positive change in the capacity in which I can still affect that change. And that's what I do. And, you know, if my life circumstances change and I'm afforded, you know, a different lifestyle that allows me to get as involved as I was years ago, I will. But right now I do what's in front of me. You know, the dog I'm working, the person I'm helping, the kids that I'm teaching how to interact with dogs, like, that's all. We just keep it simple, do what you can. And if a crap load of us just do what we can, guess what? We got a whole crap load of people doing a whole hell of a lot.
That's right, exactly. A human chain reaction here.
That's right.
Turning the negative into the positive instead of let it go and get worse. So that the more efforts we do together, hey, the better it's going to become. We're going to see light at the end of the tunnel, and that's for sure. I've seen it many times. I know I'm not on this radio spinning my wheels. You know, it's not the only thing I do. I'm out there, you know, making calls and going through social media and sharing, you know, whatever it takes, petitions or contact numbers to our politicians. Getting it out there, because that means so much, Jeff. Our voices do matter. And right,
absolutely.
Ray, I mean, just, we cannot be quiet or be shy. Because only silence brings more violence, and we don't want that. You know, looking the other way, not, we can't do that. Or close our eyes or act like it's not there. And, Ray, if you could stay on the air, I got another caller calling because we're down to 6.5 minutes here. Stay on the air. Area code 541, you're live and on the air. You have any comments or questions for Jeff, the guest? Go right ahead.
Hi, this is...
I'm sorry?
From Oregon. From Paws Across America.
Oh, yes. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I just
you're cutting out a lot. Hello?
I'm still here.
Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to thank you and know that I appreciate all the support for the pit bulls. And agree so much that, you know, pit bull owners, our responsibility to make sure that our animals are well-trained, behaved, and ambassadors of the breed, more so than I think of the breed. You know, to kind of break the stigma that we've placed on them, you know, over the years.
Yeah, the pit bulls, they deserve, you know, to be treated just like any other dog or breed out there, you know.
They do.
Be, you know, equal, be treated fairly. That's all we're asking for, you know, to treat them with dignity and respect. Get out there and try to, you know, stand up for them, because these pit bulls can't fight for themselves. They can't call no radio station or, you know, the police or the news and tell them how they feel. And Jeff said 1.5 million a year get put down a year. That's a lot. That's overwhelming.
Yeah.
That's unfair.
And, you know, it's really the responsibility of all pit bull owners to make this change. We can't expect it from anybody else. You know, we have to make sure that our dogs are ambassadors, you know, and we have to be the ones that be the voice.
That's right. We are their voices.
So when you decide to bring a pit bull into your family, you're bringing much, much more into your family and a much bigger responsibility, I think, than if you're bringing in almost any other breed. You know, not, and then the whole bully breed thing is just growing and growing with, you know, so many breeds. It's getting out of control. And it's sad. So many
yes,
people out there that are good pit bull mamas and daddies, you know, are having such a hard time. Their place to live and their neighborhoods and neighbors. And so it really is our job as pit bull owners to make our dogs ambassadors and be their voice. Even if it's just going to your local park and introducing your dog, you know, to your neighborhood.
Right. And I hear a dog barking in the background. Nate, the louder you bark, the more you're heard, you know? So
I make sure that everybody in the neighborhood knows my dog, whether they like pit bulls or not.
That's right. They got to give them a chance. Well,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
And, Jeff, you probably know that, too. You got to give them a chance. You can't just look away and say, I don't like pit bulls. No, or whatever breed it is. You got to give them a chance. I hear people, you know, everyone say that, and I was like, how could you say that? What happened? You know? I mean, it's discrimination. When they're good dogs, when they're all around good dogs. Bad owners bring bad dogs. Good owners bring good dogs.
And it's irresponsible like owners, too. You know, I know a lot of people that are, they're not bad people, and they're not, you know, bad owners necessarily. They just don't train their dogs. They don't work with them. And whenever you have
yep.
a big dog, a big, strong breed of dog, whether it's a pit bull, German Shepherd, or whatever, it is your responsibility to make sure they're trained well. At least, you know, the basics in obedience. Because accidents happen. You know,
yep.
And then, you know, the pit bull case, when an accident happens, the whole world hears about it. It becomes
right.
front page
and,
news. So,
yep.
you know,
and
it's our responsibility as pit bull owners.
That's right. And listen, I'm down a couple minutes here, and I want to – Paul's Across America, they was a former guest on there too. He'll be coming back, I think, next month for a guest. Thanks for all you do, Paul's Across America, advocacy. You rock.
Oh, you're welcome.
You know, the rallies
we enjoy,
and stuff.
We enjoy what we do. You know, it's
yes.
sad, it's heartbreaking, and it's rewarding. And you
That's
sleep
right.
well at night, curled up with all
don't
your fur
give
babies.
Up. Yep, and Jeff, I want to really thank you for coming back on air and looking forward to coming back on again. You know, keep
Anytime.
Up the outstanding work and inspiring work you're doing. You're a great inspiration to humans and animals, you know, so keep it up. And thank you for all you're doing. And Ray, thank you for calling in and all you're doing, you know, from Pitbull Debbie. And I approve this message, okay, you two? And there are three. But everyone, I wanted to give a couple shout-outs here that help support the show every Thursday. Paul's Across America Advocacy on the website. Thank you for putting the show on their website. Take Action, Help Ban Animal Gas Chambers. Megan Mason and also Holly Smith, Voices Carry for Animal Support Group on Facebook. All the admins on there. I can't be there all the time, but thank you for all you're doing. The Paul's Call Show, Fans of Animal Rights, Arlene on Facebook, Help Fight the War Against All Animal Cruelty Today, Evelyn Pendle and Debbie Eisman. Thank you. Voices for Animals on Facebook, A Voice for Animals, Twitter. Sean Waters, a big thank you to you. Paul's Pet Foundation, Sam Diaz, a former guest on Voices Care for Animals. The Pit Bull Advocate, Patrick Bowler, a.k.a. Dog Father. His shows are on Sunday evenings on Blog Talk Radio. Diane Lynn Elko, she's on We Love Pit Bulls, new on Blog Talk Radio. Her shows are on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock Eastern. You can look